sometimes you can't always have answers. I asked a lot of questions on Friday, and I said I'd answer them today, beginning today. And I want to answer some of the questions I posed. You know, why is it things go wrong? Why is it, you know, that sometimes what you think should be right isn't right, and what you think's wrong is not really wrong? And so many people get stuck. I suppose bitterness creeps into people's hearts because they don't get what they want from God, and life doesn't seem to treat them fairly, and they feel bitter. They get angry. Mainly you get angry at a preacher who will challenge you. It's the easiest person to get angry at. And if you go, and I recommend you do, you older ones, you need to go and see the film when it comes out, The Passion. Because it expresses the reality of what Christ suffered. And one can wonder how people can be inhuman to other people. You know, you wonder how anyone could plant bombs so needlessly in a railway carriage to blow up women and children. I mean, what kind of savage mentality can be like that? How can people be so crazy? And what makes a man such an animal? Why is it that we have such evil in the earth? And we need to start looking at those things. The Bible says men's hearts fail them for fear. And if you live in fear, you haven't really received perfect love. And there's only one perfect love, and it's the love of Christ shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And without that, you'll live in fear. A lot of people do live in fear all the time. And yet they'd say they were baptized in the Spirit. The reason we've got so much witchcraft in Christian churches today, where they think, you know, if you burn a piece of paper with all your problems on, it's somehow going to evaporate. That's witchcraft. It's not Christianity. Or if you go and you pray all night, you know, and stay up till 4 in the morning, that's witchcraft. It's not Christianity. And we want to look at what truth is. God said we must worship in spirit and truth. Take spirit with no truth and you have something that's very destructive. And that's what's happened all over. People are wanting experiences and they don't understand that experience devoid of truth leads to hell. And with a lot of things, if you think about it, Adam and Eve, the big temptation for Adam was, hey, just a minute, God's stopping you from experiencing something you'd really enjoy. He knows. You take of the fruit of the tree, you're going to be like him. Hey, there's an experience you can have that's going to make you so different. That's the trouble with life. People are caught up and they're told. Experience. If you think every advertiser, they want to tell you their product will give you an experience. And that experience, you know, they tell you driving a certain car will give you an experience, owning this will, and you know, you will feel. It's all to do with experience, isn't it? And the world wants you to think, and churches today are pushing you to have an experience. But spirit without truth means you're not worshiping God. You end up worshiping an experience. And the devil's sitting there just waiting to give you an experience. Oh, yes. That's why you can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's all experience. If there was no pleasure in it, no one would get caught. But we want to look at what is the basis of life. The first thing, and I want to start with the simple things, because simple things are usually missed. And if you turn with me to Acts 19, you remember we had a conference and we were talking about the Word of God growing and multiplying. When the Church of Jesus Christ was formed, most important thing to understand that the emphasis was not on experience. And you'll find in Acts 19, and verse 20, says this: so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And this is when witchcraft was finally... You want to overcome witchcraft in the church. You want to get people off superstition and culture and back into Christianity. When I go to Africa, my main thing is, and it was the same with my dear friend Benson Ederholzer, who's going to be with the Lord now. One thing dear old Benson never did was fast. He didn't fast and pray. He was a bit like me. He liked to pray fast. It gets things done. Now, he understood witchcraft, and he understood, he grew up in it. Benin City was the center of witchcraft in Nigeria, and he understood how people get trapped into old customs. What you do gets you something. No! What Christ has done brings redemption. Not what you do, what he did for you. And if you don't understand by grace, you say, through faith, and that not of yourselves. The day you do something is the day you deny faith. Hello? And so many people are caught up in the thing of experience, and people tell them, do this, do that, do something else, then God. No, 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 no. My Jesus is the author and finisher of our... It begins in God, it ends in God. Glory to God. It is God. Do you understand that? It's not what you do. I see people who are sick and diseased, and they're told, you better do this, you better do that, you better do the other. Have you forgiven everyone you've ever had an offense with in your life? God doesn't forgive everyone, so that makes you greater than God. Hey, the author of our faith is who? Jesus. The finisher of our faith is? Now, if he begins it and ends it, why don't you get out of the way in the middle? Why do you have to think you're so important and what you do? So important. We're going to look at it. The word mightily grew and it prevailed. The word of God. And what you have to understand, what we need in the church today isn't prayer warriors. We don't need someone to take the ground for Jesus. He owns it already. It all belongs to him. He already owns it. So what are you going to do? Live in old covenant promises, old covenant ideas. You live in a Judaic system that's passed away, and you're trying to reenact what God said wouldn't be reenacted. And you dream of conquering Goliath. You know, and are you prepared for Goliath? Since when did you tackle a bear? about the only bear you've ever tackled is a teddy bear. And then you've probably lost. You know, grow up. When did you get hold of a lion by the beard? But let's be realistic. Get your own life sorted out. How about getting your family sorted out? How about getting your own brain sorted out? So mightily grew the word of God. And who prevailed? The word of God. And that's what's so wonderful. Let's look at another in Acts 12, verse 24. We're going to go through the scriptures, and it's the word of God that prevails. Well, Jesus Christ is seated in heavenly places, and we are in him. Now, if you want to climb, good luck to you. You'll find you won't make it. But if you realize he is our righteousness, it's easy to get there. I mean, it's to do with faith. It's not to do with effort. That's what I love about Christianity. It takes the effort out of everything. It's a shame that people have to make it such a hard thing. I like it easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Verse 24, what does it say? But the word of God grew and multiplied. Do you know, what was important in the early church wasn't the fact that somehow they would get numbers in. It was the fact that the word of God was growing and multiplying. The word of God was growing and prevailing. You know what brought about transformation in people's minds? It was the word of God. You know what changed and healed people? It was the word of God. You know what brought power and life to people? It's the word of God. Isn't it amazing? Now it's experience. Hey! Come and experience. And they want to push you over or try and cast devils out of you that you don't have. Tell you, you know, that somehow if you fight and struggle and fast and pray, God deliver us. That's witchcraft. That is not Christianity. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a... It costs nothing. Doesn't take one missed breakfast. Glory to God. Don't cost me a penny. Had a Hindu woman ring up after our television program, and she said, well, she'd been down to a witch doctor. Well, it wasn't. She called it a spiritist. Witch doctors, just the same. Said, it costs so much money. And then she said she hadn't got the power to overcome the evil influence. What wickedness! She said, how much will it cost to get prayed for? Nothing. What do I have to do? Nothing. The devil is a hard taskmaster. He tells you all the things you've got to do. And Jesus came and said, scrap it all. I like it. I like a Jesus like that. Don't you? He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He did it all. Whew! Nothing left to do. He said, it's finished. God, get us away from witchcraft into Christ. And it's by the word. The word grew. The word multiplied. Church grew strong. Not on, you know, it wasn't on them all getting together and fasting 21 days. I love a gospel. That's good news, isn't it? Good. When you come and you find it's free. Our God wants to meet all our needs. Amen? And so I want to just get your heart to look. The word of God grows, multiplies. Let's just look at the Word of God first of all. And go with me first to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. And you remember in verse 22, Jesus got into a ship, you know, and he taught the people, and then they push out, and they're kind of, he goes to sleep in the ship, and they think the thing's going to sink, and they wake him up, and you find in verse 26, and he said unto them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Hey, how did they obey him? He spoke to them. Be still. You know, one of the things you have to understand is Jesus, when he was on earth, he spoke. They said, "We've got a problem with this guy. He's a man who speaks with authority." You know, you only have voodoo and all kind of practices when you have no authority. You have to pray for night after night when you have no authority. You have to spend hours and hours trying to cast demons out of people if you have no authority. You spend hours telling people all the formulas when you have no authority. But Jesus, here he is in a boat, and the disciples are there, and they all get fearful. Hey, we're going to sink. And they wake him up, and they say, "Master, we perish." And he says, "Oh, you have little faith." See, their problem was faith. The storm was real. But they woke up the Word. And the whole of creation's upheld by the power of his Word. And he just said, "Be still." And that was it. Storm ceased, wind finished. What did they do for it? Nothing. Jesus was in the boat. Trouble with a lot of people, they get in panic when things go wrong because they're in the wrong boat. They're sailing their own boat somewhere. You've got Jesus with you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with you. You go through it. If you're in the wrong boat, you're in trouble. You've got no one to wake up. He lives inside you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. No problem. Jesus is in your boat, you're okay. Doesn't matter whether he's asleep or awake, I want to tell you something. You're okay. I find too many people, they live with their own ideas, their own ambitions, their own agendas. That's why your life's in a mess. When things go wrong, you've got no help. Sure, you've got no help. You forgot that you need Jesus in your boat. You get what you deserve. Same chapter, you'll find a leper comes in verse 1, when a great multitude, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." "I will, be thou clean." What did he do? How did he cleanse the leper? He spoke to him. "I will, be thou clean." You know, Jesus always dealt with things. My Bible says he sent forth his word and healed them. You'll find that in the Psalms. Psalm 107, verse 20. He just sent forth his word and healed them. And you'll find in verse 5, Jesus entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick." He said, "I'll come and heal him." And the man said, "No, all you've got to do is just speak the word. Just speak the word and it'll happen. Just speak it." You know what happens in life? People forget that that's all you need to do. Speak the word. That's why the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God prevailed. The apostles spoke the word. Jesus spoke the word. They understood that it wasn't in their prayers, it wasn't in their fasting, it wasn't in their great thing. It was in the simplicity of the created word of God. Speak the word. That's what does a miracle. Nothing else makes a miracle but the word. Said, look, I'm not worthy you should come under my word. Ruth, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Jesus said, it's done. He went on his way. You remember the servant got better from that very hour. Why is it that we want to opt for something different than the simplicity of the word? We want something complicated. We want something powerful. We want some experience. It's going to make all the difference. And we forget, you don't need an experience, you need God inside you. He is the word, the living word. And it's much easier to have Christ in you, the hope of glory, than to be struggling and fighting and thinking, oh, what can I do? I'll tell you, all you need do is have Jesus speak. When he stands up in the midst of a storm and says, be still, I'll tell you, that's the end of the storm, isn't it? Hey? When he said to someone who's fouled up with leprosy or sin, be clean, that's the end of it. When he sees the disease and he speaks the word, that's the end of it. But we're all looking for something more. See, we want an experience. I don't feel. Well, believe and you'll feel. When the word comes, believe it. When God speaks, it is so. I find that's the easiest thing to do, believe. It's hard to not believe when God says it. I'm a believer in the word of God. God's spoken to me, and I know when he speaks to me, that's it. Doesn't matter whether heaven and earth seem to say the contrary, what God said is all right by me. You know, he doesn't have any problem. People make it so complicated. Jesus made it so simple. Yeah, I tell you, when you've got him in the boat, you're okay. Your faith will always be puny because you'll look at all the circumstances. Do you know what a circumstance has got to do with God? You always look at everything and you weigh it all up. And you know, our intellects, how can we work things out? I mean, how does God, as I said, how does God do it all? How does he count every hair on your head? I mean, he numbers them. He's got time every morning to number the hairs on my head because they get less. He's got time. I mean, God is God, isn't he? Every detail of you, he knows. Now, if he knows every detail, do you think he's going to be taken by surprise? He rules every circumstance. Just takes one word from him, everything changes. And he doesn't need your help. That's what's so wonderful. I always tell people who are sick, you'll believe in a miracle after God's healed you. Up to that point, you'll hope. You hope something happens. And we'll look at that in a second. Because it's important to understand. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm always amazed at how people understand everything. The more I go on, the less I know. I just, you know. I find it's better to let God do it all. You don't have to understand. How can God take a cancer out of someone? I was over in, a year ago nearly it was, I was over in a church, Methodist church in Accra, and this boy came out and he looked as though he was pregnant. He had a big cancer in his stomach. I couldn't do anything for him, and so he came to the meeting and I prayed for him. And I just put my hand on his stomach and cursed the cancer, and I felt, you know, his stomach just vanished. And it had gone. I looked down at the floor, see if it had come out. I mean, you know, where did it go? Just went. And then he couldn't walk. He began to jump up and down and run. He was healed. Now, what did God do with that which was inside? He vaporized it. How? I haven't got a clue. God's God. How can God take joints that are all twisted and gnarled and people totally crippled and you can watch as the whole thing goes back to normal? How does he do it? How does God take a woman who's been blind since she was four and suddenly she says, I can see? Or what about a woman in Bulgaria, born with no eyes, just sockets? And you pray for her. And you pass on, and all of a sudden you hear her screaming, I can see, I can see. And you look, and you realize God has created eyes. How does he do it? Don't ask me. I don't know. I don't want to know. I know he's got a million angels who could do anything. I don't know how he does it. How can he speak to the winds and the storm and say, be still? Where did the wind go to? Have you ever wondered where the wind comes from? Somewhere, it must go somewhere. And he told it to stop, and it did. Did it stop all the way around the world? Where did it come from? I mean, the wind's got air in it, hasn't it? I don't know. I mean, it's a mystery. You imagine all the vibrations of the waves. You know, they're big rollers coming over. You know, mighty waves. Tremendous power. And he just stands up and says, stop. And the waves... Where'd it go? I don't know. It says it was smooth. In a second. Hey, if he holds the whole of creation in the palm of his hand like that and he can do anything, what's your big fuss? Oh, you know, you don't know the circumstances. Forget it. My God is God. In the beginning was the Word. What was in the beginning? The Word. See, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Everything started in the beginning with the Word. And it's what I like. And the Word was with God. And the Word... Beg your pardon? Who was God? God was the Word, and the Word was God. Do you realize when the Word is spoken, it's God speaking? You want to know God? Know the Word. Want to know the Word? Know God. Word is God, God's the Word. You know, it's not that difficult, is it? It's just plain, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. Goes on. Eyes down. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All right? Everything that's made was made by God. And God is the Word, and the Word is God. And all things were made by Him. Is that plain? Hello? No, it's important you understand. Is that plain? There's nothing in the whole of creation, there's nothing you've ever seen, sensed, felt, that wasn't made by God. God's creator of everything. The Word is God, God is the Word. Is that clear? Hello? God is not your prayers. God is not your affliction. God is not your efforts. God is the Word is God. God, Word, Word, God. Is that plain? Now, the real problem in your life is you have a problem with God's Word. All problems stem from the fact people are in conflict with God's Word. Your mind, where the strongholds of Satan are, in your imagination and your reasonings, your problem is God's Word. Your anger is always guided towards God and against God. When Jesus walked on the earth, they got angry. Why'd they get angry? What He said is the Word. God's the Word, Word's God. And when He spoke, they got angry. When Paul the Apostle got up to speak, they got angry. Why? They didn't like the Word. You see, what was the problem was they were in conflict with God, because God and the Word are one and the same. If you get angry at the Word of God and you get angry at the power of God, I'll tell you what you're getting angry at. You're angry at God. When they try to kill Paul and stone Paul, and when they try to destroy, they were trying to destroy the Word of God. What they wanted was silence. They took Peter and John. They said, don't speak in this name anymore. But this name is the Word, and the Word is God, and God is the Word. They try to silence it. And what happens in a man's heart, when things begin to bring conviction, and when life begins to come, people don't like it. They get angry. What are they getting angry? They're angry at God. Hey, you need to be reconciled to God. Your problem is you don't like God's Word. You don't like correction. You don't like rebuke. You don't like to be put right. So you get angry because you can't have your own way, because the Word of God doesn't allow that. God is the Word is God. Is that plain? Makes you angry inside. No, I don't agree with that. Don't like it. Sure you don't. Why? Because you've never been reconciled to God. You must be born again. I could never believe the Bible. When I was a young man, I could never believe the stories. I could never come into agreement with the Bible. Then God met me. God saved me. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Then I couldn't disagree. I found the greatest joy is the Word of God. I found the greatest source of life is the Word of God. I found God's the Word is God. I grew to love Him because He first loved me. And the whole thing turned around. And then I found I was in agreement with God, but boy, am I the enemy of people who hate God. Boy. I tell you, I hate the devil, I hate his works, I hate the works of darkness. Boy, if you want a war, you side with the devil. People are either siding with God or siding with the devil. You've either in the kingdom of darkness or you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You're one side or the other, fella. That's the way it is. And you know which side you're on by your reaction inside when the word of God comes. That shows you which side you're on. God's the word. The word is God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Amen? You always tell who's right with God and who isn't, who's reconciled to God and who isn't, by their reactions. Whoa. Dear old Paul, everywhere he went, he managed to stir up a riot. I had one woman come to me. I was in the hotel. She turned up to eat breakfast and she got up, came over to my wife and I. No, it was lunchtime. Came over to my wife and I. We were sitting there. She said, I was in the meeting this morning. She said, it's wonderful what you say. You mean we don't have to pay for it? We don't have to do anything for it? We've just fasted for 21 days, so we'll have a good year. I said, you will. You'll be thinner this year. I said, but you didn't get anything from God by doing it. It's not what you do. It's what he did for you. Well, do you understand that? I mean, am I getting through to you? Yes. God is the word is God. God, word, 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 God. Is that plain? Don't ever divorce the two. And then when you get a preacher and he preaches in the power of God, you're in trouble. Get upset. I tell you who you really picked a fight with. Someone who's not going to get beaten. His name is God. I want to tell you, when you start fighting God, there's only one loser. Who's it going to be? When you start fighting God, who's going to lose? Huh? You are. That's right. No, I don't like it. Lump it. God's God. Word God, God word. Is that plain? Now, the trouble is you aren't reconciled to God. If you were reconciled to God, you'd delight in his word. When you're not reconciled to God, it begins to anger you. Inside, it comes in and it's like a sharp sword. It divides between soul and spirit and it finds you out. That's why it gets a reaction from you. I like what Spurgeon said. Every preacher should make people glad or mad. When I go to a place, I want to make people glad or mad. One thing I don't want you to do is remain neutral. There is no neutrality. You serve God or you serve the devil. Boy, that's plain, isn't it? Really great. I love it when it's simple. God is the word is God. Indivisible. Can't divide. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. The darkness don't understand it. That's one thing. You know, people can't understand light. It's strange how people try and understand it. Figure it out. You figure it out. I can't. How can you know God? Boy. What's your reaction inside? That'll tell you. God knows how to hit you in the right place. So if you're reconciled to God, you rejoice in truth. If you're not reconciled to God, it's always a war. Your mind starts thinking a million things. Why is your mind in turmoil? I'll tell you why your mind's in turmoil. Because you're trying to defend your filth. I mean, why does God do anything? God just spoke the word. He created it. My God is just a fascinating God. He just likes to fascinate us with nature. And you can see the intricate way God makes everything and how everything's formed. Fascinating. All of creation speaks of his glory. Whole of creation. It's a wonderful creation. I love it. I love what he's created. I think it's the most wonderful thing. He created you. You're all different. Now, some of you are the enemy of God, and some of you are the friend of God. And the Word sorts them out. God is the Word is God. Is that plain? Let's go on. Let's go on. You remember in Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there God spoke. You'll find in Genesis, when you look in the book of Genesis, you'll find everything was by the power of his word created. You know, then he says to Adam, when he's sick day rest, then he says to Adam, "Hey, come and name the animals." And whatever Adam called them, that's what they were. You see, before the fall, there's a mystery. But before the fall, the nature and image of God was in Adam. And so when he spoke, a giraffe was a giraffe. A lion was a lion. An elephant was an elephant. A rhinoceros was a rhinoceros. Now you say, but he didn't speak English. No, but in his language, that's what it meant. Everything, what they were named, that's what they called them. And then you'll find him in first chapter of John. Let's go on, verse 14, I think it is. And the word was made and dwelt among us. You know, God became incarnate in man. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. He was full of it. Grace and truth. And he was incarnate. Word became flesh. Understand. And understand it well. I hear so many Christians talk as though the flesh was sin. The flesh is not sin. Jesus became the Word, God, flesh. Flesh, God. The Word, flesh. God incarnate. He came in humanity. Don't ever divorce it and somehow imagine that there was somehow the Godhead without, you know, Christ. Christ was both man and God, incarnate. The Word became what? Flesh. Dwelt among us. My God, God became flesh. He dwelled among us. When you see the film, The Passion, and you see what happened to Christ depicted by Mel Gibson, it was a terrible thing. It'll give you some idea of the awfulness of it. But I want to tell you one thing. The Word became flesh. The hatred of the high priest and the hatred of the Romans and the hatred of humanity was poured out on God. The Word became flesh. What they did in their anger against God. They hated God. Do you know the hatred that man has today is really against God? The bitterness inside is against God. The anger that rises against God. Your real problem is lack of reconciliation to God. Your enemy is God. You are the enemy of God. You must be born again. You must be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The Word must become flesh in you. How does that happen? You've got to begin to live the Word. Not just hear the Word and believe it, but live it. You've got to become a walking embodiment of the truth of Christ. You've got to be obedient. But if you don't like the Word, and you hate the Word, and you're the enemy of the Word, I'll tell you, you're the friend of the devil. That's why Jesus turned to the Pharisees. He said to them, they said, "We be Abraham's seed." He said, "You're of your father the devil. The works of the devil you do." Why? They're against the Word. Why? The Word's against them. Why? Their flesh is aligned with the devil. They're children of the devil. Seed of the serpent. You've got to change seed. You must be born again. The crux of everything is your birth. If you're not truly born from above, if you haven't been reconciled to God, if the Word doesn't become a joy to your heart, I want to tell you, you still belong to the devil. What makes you angry inside is the fact that your spirit inside is alien with God. You must be reconciled to God. The trouble is with so many churches that the people in the churches are religious but not reconciled. And when the Word comes, it stirs them up. It gets inside, makes them angry. Why? The preacher's getting at you. You better believe he is. I hate the works of darkness. Why do I hate them? Because they destroy humanity. There's something about evil. So destructive. There's disease. I hate disease. Why? It's totally contrary to my God. I hate it. I hate sickness. I hate what destroys. Why? My God made creation good. Amen? And he wants us to have the life of God in us. The Word of God dwelling in our hearts. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 2. Now, I tell you that the trouble with a lot of people is they don't like preachers. Thessalonians, I love it. Chapter 2, For this cause, verse 13, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God. Now look what the word of God was. Paul writes to them, and he says, look, the problem is with a lot of people, they don't appreciate the word of God. I'll read it again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Hey, you know why some people never go on? I'll tell you why they never go on, because they don't receive the word of God. They've got their own ideas. They're smarter by half. Ah, it's just man's word. Well, who's that? Well, Paul said, hey, you better wake up. And he commends them. He says, the thing is, you realize what it was you were listening to. It's not the word of man, it's the word of God. And now we have the written word. Then it was a spoken word, but very plain, very simple, very straight. Paul wasn't beating around the bush. He was saying, look, it's the word of God. The same word that Jesus spoke to still the storm, to heal the leper and cleanse the leper and to deliver the captive, is the same word that the apostles spoke. It's the same word that every true son of God speaks. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Paul said, I would you were followers of us, even as we are of Christ. People take it so lightly. They go to church and they listen and they don't realize you're fighting God and you'll lose. You resist God and you'll lose. You despise God. That's the truth. So, well, it doesn't matter, it's just a man. Okay, believe it. You're a fool. You'll get nowhere. But as night follows day, you'll find out. Word God, God word. Can't divide them. Word made flesh, dwelt among us. Paul says, look, you didn't receive it as a word from a man, you received it as a word of God. That's why it benefits you. Won't benefit you if you just say, oh, well, it's just a man's opinion. Well, I just choose what I like. Why does it get a reaction inside then? You're a fool if you just take it lightly. Or maybe Paul was wrong and you're smarter than the apostle. Romans chapter 4. I hope you came to hear what God had to say. Romans chapter 4. The father of the faithful, Abraham. Let's take it from verse 13, for the promise that he, that's Abraham, would be the heir of the world, that he would be the, oh, just a minute, the heir of the world, not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abram, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Look, let me tell you something. If you're a legalistic person who believes something you do is going to justify you and make you righteous, and if you pray enough and fast enough and you're religious enough and you do all the right things, you're going to be okay. I've got news for you. It isn't going to work. But if you're one of those who against hope believes in hope, doesn't matter what the circumstances say, doesn't matter what history says, here's Abraham, 100 years old, there's his wife, totally old, finished, no way they could have children. God said he'd make him a father of many nations. He had a hope, and I find many Christians have a hope that one day it'll be, one day it'll change, one day. But hope against hope means that you don't just hope for the future, but you take the hope for the present, and faith makes substance of the things hoped for. The very thing you hope for becomes reality when you really believe God is able to perform it. When you stop believing in your own ability, and you stop believing in your own actions, and you stop believing in your own efforts, and you start believing in the God who does it. It's God who does the miracle. It's God who births a man. It's God who brings a man in. We're born again in the incorruptible word of God. It's God who speaks it. There comes a time in your life when you stop depending on yourself and thinking you can change yourself, you can make yourself more holy, you can make yourself more spiritual, you can do it, and you start saying, I can do nothing. But I know one who can. His name is Jesus. He reigns and rules supreme, and he's spoken. My Bible says that if I will confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. What did he do? He didn't consider his physical state. He didn't consider Sarah's physical state. You know why so many people remain sick? It's because of one thing. They look at the facts. But the facts aren't the facts. God's promise is the truth. They look at the bondage in their life and they say, but I've always been like that. That is a fact, but against that fact, there's a hope that's totally contrary to it. It's called faith. You know, it's when you come to the place where you say, hey, I believe that what God said he's able to do, he can do it. I believe it. I don't look at the circumstances. I don't look at the sickness. I don't look at the disease. I don't look at the problem. I don't look at the bondage. If I look at all those things and use my reason, I'll say it'll never change. But I look to a miracle-working God who spoke it. And God said, when God spoke to the storm, it was stilled. When God spoke to the leper, he was cleansed. When God spoke to the mountain, it was removed. My God said, God, the Word, incarnate in the flesh. There's nothing today that you need live in except the life of God. There's no disease can stand against the Word. He took our diseases, our sicknesses into his own body. By his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. Doesn't matter what you see, what you feel, it matters what God said. Doesn't matter whether the devil lies. Your bondage, you'll never be free. You'll never be able to live free. I say, yes, you will. What he promised, he's able to perform. God only asks you to believe that he has the power to do it. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. God has promised. Will he not do what he says? I don't believe for a miracle. I believe in the one who's able to perform it. I don't believe in the result. The thing I hope for, I believe in the one who is the answer. His name is Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the one who does it. The whole of our lives are based on the Word of God. The Word of God grew and multiplied. The Word of God prevailed. Do you know it'll prevail over every disease, every sickness, every bondage? The trouble is people don't take it as God's Word. They take it as just the word of a man. They take it as an idea. They take it as a philosophy. But they don't understand it is the God of creation who spoke the world, who upholds the world by the power of his word. Everything in this world is held by him. And he speaks that word and his promise cannot fail. There is no sin that can hold a man. There is no chain that can hold a man. You must be born again. You must be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And when you are translated, you are righteous, not because of what you have done, but because of what he did for you 2,000 years ago. Redemption is sure. Doesn't matter what you go through in life, you believe in him who's able to keep you from falling. You believe in him who's able to deliver you to the uttermost. That's what the Bible promises. The Bible promises, and those promises cannot be broken. Cannot. The thing that marked Abraham out from everyone else was he didn't doubt God, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. He believed that what God promised he was able to perform. He didn't consider the circumstances. He didn't consider the history. He didn't consider the things past. He considered his God who was able to do it. God is able to do it. It doesn't matter how many things you've been through. Doesn't matter how much you've suffered. Today it can end. Doesn't matter how raging the storm is. It matters the one who controls it all is here. Doesn't matter how leprous you are, how sin has taken hold of your life, it matters that the one who says be clean is here. It's time, my friend, you were reconciled to God. It's time you faced up the fact you're either the enemy of God or the friend of God. Either the word makes your heart rejoice or the word makes you angry. But it gets inside. He's here. I don't apologize. May you have no rest, no peace, no hiding place. My God is a good God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a... Hey, the only people that get to hell are the people that reject Christ. Sin won't take you there, it's rejecting him who came to save you. The mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who holds the whole of creation in the power of his hand and in the power of his word. Came to give life and life more abundant. How dare you turn round and reject him? How dare you side with the devil against the living God? You must be born again. You must change your allegiance. Can you do it? No. But the word of God can birth you. Born again of the incorruptible word of God. What he promised, he can perform. You can't do it. He does it for you. What a God we have. What a God we serve. I want it to be plain. It's not some experience. It's the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall... But it's if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. It's continuation in the word of God. It's walking in that word. That's what people don't want to do. They want to walk in their own ideas, their own desires. You've got a choice. And it's a very, very important choice you're making. It's an eternal choice. Either you're going to accept God's word or you're going to reject the living God. Because I want to tell you, the word is God. God is the word. You can't divide them. There's so many people like to divide Jesus off from God. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. The Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Paul writes them. He says, you didn't take it as a word of man. You took it as the Word of God. This morning, everything can change. I don't care what your disease. I don't care what your history. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you've experienced. Do you believe what he promised is able to do? That's the only question. He promised. He promised. My Redeemer lives. He's the one who lives. No one else. He's alive. Wonderful Jesus who walked the earth, embodiment of God, God in the flesh, is here. You know, the strange thing is, there can be 1,000 people listening and one person can hear. There can be a lot of people who hearing never hear, who seeing just cannot see. You wonder what it is. Why, it's the mercy of God. Why does he choose one and not another? Do you know, this morning I've spoken, I want to tell you, it's going to be the savor of life unto life and death unto death. There's some of you who walk out of this room more dead and more full of hate and bitterness than you ever were, till it destroys your life, your body, your family, your all. Why? Because you became an enemy of God, you would not be reconciled. My Bible says, those who are born again love those who are begotten of God. It's a very exclusive membership. You can't love unless you've been born into it. Unless that love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you don't really even understand. As the ambassador of God, my challenge to you today is be reconciled to God. It's time you stop playing about and recognized you're on the pathway to hell. It's no game. No game. Jesus bled and died on Calvary's tree. When he was scourged, he took your diseases into his own body. When he was nailed to the tree, he became sin who knew no sin. Why? The flesh that was the habitation of God, God incarnate, became sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus has done it all. I can't believe myself into it. I can't do it, but I believe in one who can perform what he promised. He came to save his people from their sin. What he promised, he can do. I don't consider my past, I consider my future. He did it, he'll do it for you. What a God. I know my Redeemer lives. Doesn't matter what I face in life, I have a God who's able. He's here. There's nothing he wouldn't do for you. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. He'll break the chains. Hey, you can't play with God. inside yourself, you know where you are. The Holy Spirit is a true and a faithful witness. You might not like his witness. You might not like what he says. But he's true and faithful. And inside yourself, you can't help yourself. If God's Spirit is dealing with you, you can't hide, because his word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit. If so be the Spirit of God has got inside you, you have a choice this day. You can either respond to truth or you can turn against it. You can either admit it or fight it. If you fight it, you'll lose. You know, God's Spirit won't always strive with man or the Son of Man. My God is not there to strive and strive with you. He just gives you an opportunity. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. About time you got yourself reconciled to him. Close your eyes. Don't look around at anyone else. My Redeemer lives. He's alive. He's here. Hadn't come to condemn. You condemn yourself. Hasn't come to destroy, he came to save. His word is your hope. The only way he knows is to send forth his word of healing into the heart and life. Father, I just pray for each one here. Lord, you see everything. You know everything. Master, Lord, Lord Jesus, let your Spirit work on each one. Heavenly King, what you promised, you can do. If you know the Holy Ghost spoke to you, and you know things are wrong, it's time to put them right. Father, I just pray for each one. No one else can save you. You've got to be reconciled to God. You understand that? My Redeemer lives. He's the one who saves. He's the one who heals. You don't need some great experience. You just need His love. He didn't come to destroy you. You destroy yourself by making yourself His enemy. It's time to be reconciled to Him. The word spoken, the Bible says He sent forth His word. It heals. It's a word that heals. Not an experience. His word heals. God inside you. That's because God loves you. I want to tell you, when that word got inside you, it already did its work. It's that easy. He's a God of love. It's not some great power. Why? It's so simple. He loves you. He loves you. And what He spoke inside you, that's all you need. My Redeemer lives. It's easy, isn't it? It's over. Give me both your hands. Father, thank You for Your great love. The love that causes Your word to get inside. Lord, the word that's so powerful. Lord, from this day I declare freedom in this life. Take all the fears away. Come, gracious King. Lord Jesus, let that word grow. Let the seed of life flow in this life from this day. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your great love, wherewith You loved us. Thank You, Lord, that You reach out to each one. Every word is true. Lord, quicken it to every heart, every individual. Lord, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. My Redeemer lives. I got news for you. What God promised, He performs. He'll never fail you. It couldn't. He's true. Doesn't matter what circumstances say, doesn't matter what anyone said. It's God who created heaven and earth. He said it. Cannot fail. He loves you. He really does. My Redeemer lives. Hey, He does it. Not your efforts, not your believing. It's what He did 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal. Nothing can stop it happening. What He promised, He performs. Father, I just lift every prayer request to You, Lord, and I just lift these dear ones to You. I thank You, Lord, that they've responded to Your Spirit and Word. Lord, I know what You promised, You'll perform. Lord, I break every chain, every bondage, and I declare Your word to be true. Lord, let your healing flow, flow to them. You sent you forth your word to heal. Let it be so. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My Redeemer lives.